But the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. He says, thank you. That's right. Oh, me. Yeah. Oh, me. Okay. Oh. You want to sing one? Don? Tonight? All right. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verses 8 and 9. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Matthew 28, 8 and 9. And this right here is it's the event of that day when the Lord Jesus Christ, when the resurrection took place. But then in verses 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Right here we see where the Lord, the appearance of the Lord, he went back to where the disciples were, but Mary and his mother and John and some of them had went to the sepulchre there. And they seen where that he was not there anymore. And I think they remembered the words that he had told them in the past, that it would be just for 3 days. He would be gone for just for 3 days and three nights. And then he would come back and he would go back to the Father. Now, the order of our Lord's appearance would seem to be on the day of his resurrection. Mary Magdalene to the women returning from the tomb with the angelic message. And then Peter, only to Peter, probably in the afternoon. We can see that in Luke 24 and verse 34. It says, to the eminence, disciples toward evening, to the apostles, except Thomas, 8 days afterwards, to the apostles, Thomas, being present. And the first time he was there being present was after the Lord had went and made his presence known unto the disciples. That was after he went back to heaven, and before he could sit down on the right hand of God the Father told him, said, sons, you're not through. You've got to go back, because I don't think they really took you and took your word at heart. So you need to go and explain it to them once again. But this will be the last time that you'll explain it to them. And as he came back, he went to the upper room where the disciples had gathered. After Mary had told them, and Peter and all of them had told them what had just happened. The Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection, he won't die anymore. And really, they didn't... Maybe right at first they thought, well, what have they done with him? What have the soldiers done with him? Because, you know, they were so cruel to him, you know, and they wanted, I believe some of them wanted to take that and walk with it and talk with it and say, hey, we don't take this thing lightly. We have no idea what the soldiers has done, because see, they was on guard. And they had more faith in what Jesus was saying down through the years than what his own disciples did. Because see, the Roman soldiers, they stood guard over the tomb. Now we know that Jesus Christ, he could have came from that tomb, and not even, what, a tomb wouldn't even be noticed. He could have came through the earth. He could have came right through that rock that was at the very entrance of his grave. But he didn't. He moved that stone. The angels came from heaven, and they moved that stone. And when they moved that stone, they moved that stone out of the way enough to where Jesus could come out from the tomb. And that's the very first glimpse that people had of that time. Because no doubt, the devil, the devil, he had promised the Lord so many different things. He'd promised him, you know, just look around. Look all around. He took him to the highest part of the mountain and look up. You see all of this? You see it all? If you deny that bread that you say that you're going to take of, and where you're going for nourishment for your body, if you'll just forget about that and serve me, you can have all of this. And after you receive all of this, I don't have to worry any longer. But we do. We have to worry today. And I think the worry that each one of us carry today, and I've said this time and time to my wife about, just don't worry. Don't worry about this and don't worry about that. But I think each and every one of us have a tendency to worry. As Christians, we're going to have a tendency to worry. What are we going to worry about? First of all, we're going to worry about our family. Because we don't know if our family is saved. The only thing we know is what our own heart and what we can see with our own heart. Now, we also seen where over there in the latter part of chapter 28, in verse 18, it says, all power was given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power was given to who? Jesus Christ. He had all the power. And he was there. He told the disciples what was going on. And I believe it was Peter said that, come up to him and said, Lord, I want to go with you. I want to go where you're going. Peter says, you can't get, the Lord says, Peter, you can't go with me. Because I'm going to a place where you know nothing about. And he was talking about the cross. That's what he was talking about. He was talking about the cross, the way he would be able to conquer death. And he conquered it. He conquered it without any other individual helping him. He conquered it. And he conquered hell. Because he said, I'm not going to that place called hell. It was not made for me. The Father did not establish hell for me and my family and my friends and the people that I talk to and I walk with each and every day. That's not what hell was created for. The hell was created for the devil and his angels that followed the devil, Lucifer, out of heaven. When God threw Lucifer out of heaven, no doubt, Lucifer, he had followers there. And his followers had, all the angels that there in heaven that was his followers, they turned their back on God. They turned their back on God and said, God, we're going to follow him. You know the reason they followed him? Because they could see him. You know the reason people are here today follow the devil and follow all his sin? Why? Because they can see it. They can see the presence of sin. You know the reason they don't come to church? You know the reason they don't come to an old-fashioned altar and get saved? It's because they cannot see what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for them. They cannot see it, so they don't have the faith to believe it. You know, we have to remember too, for individuals today to have faith, they must have faith in what they don't see. Instead of putting their faith in something that they do see with the natural eyes. Because the natural eyes of an individual will lead them astray. Verse 19 in chapter 28 of Matthew. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teach. Teach. What that word teach means, that word means spreading the gospel. Telling people about what happened there at Calvary. And what happened there in the very beginning of time. And the reason that we have the devil. And the reason we have the sin on this world. It's because of the devil. It's not because of me and you. When I was lost, I didn't know no better. I didn't know no better. I was just doing what I had been taught. But when I come to know Jesus and read his word, and he became real to me, and he took up an abode in my heart, well, it wasn't just him. It was the Trinity of God took up an abode in my heart. That was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And I'm thankful for that. And when they took up that abode in my heart and in my life, I wanted to please him. Why? Because see, when something as big as God is, and something as big as Jesus is, the Lord, and then something as big as the Holy Ghost, when all three of them come to you, you don't want to do nothing else. You're not going to want to please man. You're not going to want to go out here and run around with the crowd that you used to run around with. Just like that song that so many people today, they sing. And where the dead comes in and comes in later and he says, son, you have a brand new daddy. Daughter, you have a brand new daddy. Brand new. We are brand new in Christ Jesus. We are. We can be the true ambassadors. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is somebody that represents something that they believe in, that they trust in. That's just like here in the United States. We have ambassadors up there in Washington. We have ambassadors to other countries. And when they go to them countries, they do not belittle the United States. They do not say anything against it. They lift the United States up. And they want other people also to lift up the United States. Which, you know, in the last 8 years, you know, we've had somebody, I mean, they went over, I mean, he went over and he condemned the United States. And, I mean, you know, he was always apologizing. He was always apologizing for the United States. But he's never apologized the first time for what he's done. An ambassador. These was ambassadors right here. Why? Because they run to the tomb. They looked inside. And the only thing that they seen was the garment that they had wrapped him in 3 days before. And they was folded out and they was laid there in a particular place and in an order that only Jesus Christ knew exactly what it meant. And that's when he took the garment where he was wrapped like a mummy. And he did not go in and unwrap that. He didn't go in and unwrap it. No. He came out from his garment just like a butterfly comes out of that tomb. Everything there is just like it was. But Jesus won't die. His clothes represent perfection. Because he was perfect. He was perfect. And not only was he was perfect in his walk and what he said, what come from his voice box or what come from his mouth was the gospel. Was the gospel. Because he did not say anything that he did not mean. We say things a whole lot of times. We should mean it. But a whole lot of times we don't. We just say it to kind of get ourselves out of trouble a little bit with somebody. But as they stood there, looking inside. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that he won't die. How do I know he won't die? This Bible tells me so. These eyes do not tell me so. Do not show me so. But my faith that I put in His Word tells me it's so. Tells me it's so. And I cannot go in and change it. I cannot contradict it or nothing. People want to change the word. You know the reason a whole lot of people want to change the Word of God? A whole lot of people want to change the Word of God. They say, and the reason they don't want to use the King James Bible, they say they're saved and everything, and they have the Holy Ghost living with them and all of that. They know the Holy Spirit and they know God. They know that God put their name down on the Lamb's Book of Life, and He writ their name out in the crimson blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the reason they won't read and won't preach from the King James book? Because they don't believe it. This is a bunch of hogwash idea. When you have a pastor, or when you have a preacher up here as preacher, and he says, the reason I'm preaching from the New Translation, the reason I'm preaching from the NIV, and the reason I read that is so my congregation can understand me. That's safe. Nobody's going to ever understand this book besides knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And I'm talking about the preachers behind the pulpit. They won't preach from the King James Bible. Why? Because they don't understand it. And if you don't understand it, you don't have the Holy Spirit living within you. Because in John chapter 14, that's what it tells you. All of that is about all of that. That is about the Holy Spirit in teaching us what it says. And as Mary and them was at the sepulchre, they departed from the sepulchre. But do you, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think and do you believe that the mother of the Lord Jesus and his brother John and the others that was with them, do you think they just, after they came out from the sepulchre and found out that he wasn't there, the garment was laid, and then there was the napkin that was about his face, was laid over here separate from the garment. Do you think that they just come on out of the tomb? They got on their path going back to where they come from, just walking? I don't think they just went out and started walking. I believe every one of them run as fast as they could. Why? Because they wanted to tell people that he wasn't there anymore. That what had happened was what he said it would happen. That he would be risen on the third day. The true ambassador is the one who fears the Lord. Who fears this book. Who fears the Word of God. We'll fear it in a way to where we say, well, you know, I know what it says over here. It says, and it came to pass. In those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Verse 12 says, immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. We said, well, you know, I don't kind of understand all of that. Why, I mean, you know, why do they have certain churches or certain denominations out here that they just come out and they just come and take that little basin of water say you've been baptized in the name of Jesus? No, you ain't. The rest of your body is just as sinful as it always had been. Because that's what the being immersed and going into the water is where we, when we go down, and once we come up as a new creature. New creature in who? Jesus Christ. We've been washed. What the water represents is the blood. Because what happened? When he was at that cavern, when he was hanging on the cross, what happened? When they took the spears, put the spear in his side, what came out? Blood and water. Blood and water. That's what came out. We need to fear these people that don't believe in the Word of God, but yet they say they're Christians. We need to fear them because they don't know what they're saying. And I fear God also. I fear God in a way that where I know that if I go out here and if I tell somebody something that's wrong, that contradicts the King James Version of the Bible, which is for the English-speaking people today, I'm standing on dangerous grounds. Yes, we fear. The true ambassador is one who fears God. But the true ambassador does fear lest he grieve the Lord. That in the fear of true love and devotion, it is not a fear of slavish bondage, but it is a fear of willing subjection. The fear of true love, the fear of devotion, the fear of not loving God. Because he allowed his son to go to Calvary and to die for my sins. And I need to fear that love that he had for me. Because if I don't love him, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. I'm gonna just put it like that, just as bluntly as I know why. If you don't fear God, you cannot fear his love. And if you don't fear his love, or if you don't fear him, I don't believe how you can be saved. But we see today where it looks like that everybody today is tempted. They're tempted to the point that they think that when they're tempted that they're going to go to a little higher plateau in their life. Other words, they're going to go from this small mountain that they've been on, and they're going to go to the next level, to a higher mountain. Why? Just because they've been tempted by Satan. That's what they think. They think that they can climb the mountain. They think that they can get up out of the bed in the morning without God's help. They think that they can come to church and be able to speak without God's help. They think the preacher can get up here and preach his word without God's help. Well, I got news for every last one of them.
You can't do nothing without God's help. And that's even the sinner right here, the one that would have spitefully used you, hate you, and everything else. God still loves them. Why? Because his love will bring them something they've never had. Something that they've never had. I don't know if I've told you or not, but you know, when me and my wife, when we got married, and before that, I told her that I loved her. And then after that, we was engaged. 3 months later, we was married. And after almost 47 years later, we still are married. And she tells me every day that she loves me. And I tell her every day that I love her. If we don't tell people that we love them, how do they know if we care for them? If we don't tell them. I mean, that's just like my brothers now. If I don't ever go up to them and when I see them and just talk to them and talk to them kindly or whatever, or if I don't tell them I love them or something like that, if I don't tell them all of that, I don't care anything about them. You don't care anything about people when you don't tell them you love, especially family members. Family, we need to get back. The family needs to unite back together. That's the reason that family today is separated. That's the reason that family is being pulled apart. And who are they being pulled apart? Who's pulling them apart? The children. The children is pulling the family apart. Why? Because Johnny over here won't see us. And mommy and daddy says, well, you can't have it. You're too young for that now. You can't have it now. And then they throw a little temper tantrum. And then mom and daddy get into it. Because they don't want them out here jumping up and down and hollering and all that. Hey, even if they're in a grocery store, if they're in Walmart, Sam, whatever, if they act that and if they want this, and you say, no, you can't have it. It's not appropriate for you. And if a child starts a fit, gets down on the floor, starts rolling around and hollering and crying and everything, hey, let them do it. They're just embarrassing themselves. That's what they're doing. They ain't embarrassing me. That's just like, I don't know if y'all ever seen it or not, when Opie on Andy Griffith, when that time when he had some individuals, some few people come into town. And then he started running around with one of his sons there. And that individual was telling him, says, you know, you're doing all things are wrong. What you're doing is wrong. Give in. Don't give in. Let them know how you feel. He said, what are you talking about? He said, well, he says, if I want something, and if they don't give it to me, I just have them a temper tantrum. I'll just get on the floor and I'll just roll and I'll holler and I'll cry and all of that and everything. He said, Opie said, does that work? He says, he showed up. And he come into the office one day in the sheriff's office. And his daddy there, and he got in that one of them tantrums there, and because he wanted something. And his daddy says, no. I don't know what it was and everything. he just backed up away from his desk. Opie did. He backed up from his desk and he just fell on the floor. And he started twirling around and everything, and hollering and crying and everything, and had a tension attack. And Andrew said, and his dad said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm just having a temper tantrum." He said, "What you having that for?" "I don't know." They just do what other people, what they see other people do.
And they, hey, sometimes they'll embarrass you out. But we need to let them know that who the parents are. We need to let them know who the daddy is. We need to let them know who the mother is. We need to let them know who the grandparents are. And when we speak, you need to just close your mouth and do what they say do. But no, not today, they don't do it. A true ambassador has joy. You know, I was watching TV this week, and the President of the United States, he come out to the garden there in the White House, the Rose Garden or whatever, and he was giving a little speech. And he had his Secretary of State was there. Tillerson. And then on the other side, he had an ambassador there. And her name is Nikki Haley. She was a governor of South Carolina. And she hasn't pulled no punches yet. She tells them, she's told the people over in North Korea, China, and all of them over there and everything, what the president's saying. And says, and you can bank on it. He's going to do what he says. But see, they don't believe her. They don't believe what the president has said. But with her being a true ambassador to the United States of America, I've never seen a time when she went up there discussing something about that she was talking to some world power, some overseas or something like that, like Russia and China and all them and everything in Iran. She don't speak with sadness on her face. She speaks with a purpose. And you can look at her and you can tell that she's bubbling over with joy. Because she knows. She knows the one that's in control. And it's not Donald Trump. It's not the president. It's not her. It's not Putin over in Russia. It's not that little fat runt that got away in North China, North Korea. I mean, they don't run nothing. See, God allows all of this stuff to happen. Why does he allow it to happen? Why? So we can come back to him with some kind of normalcy or whatever you want to call it, or with one purpose in our lives, that we know what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. When everything's said and done, I done read the book. I done read the back of the book. Some books I hear, I've just read them. I hadn't really studied them, but I've read the back of the book, and I know what it says in the back of the book. But back of the book, it says, hey, we're going to a new heaven. And eventually, if we get to that new heaven, the there where God is at, we're going there for a while, for 1,000 years. But after that, he's coming back on a white horse. You think I'm going to be riding a black horse? No, I ain't going to be riding no black horse. Because black is the definition of sin. And what does a spotted horse say? Some of these horses, I know y'all have seen some that's white. And then it's got a little brown to it. Or got a great big old brown spot on its belly or something like that. And then got white on the face part. And then on the other side of the belly, got another little smaller brown spot. What do you call them? So-called Christians. Thinks that they're Christian, think they're saved. But they ain't. I'm coming back on a white horse. Who am I going to follow? I'm going to follow my Savior. Because he's going to be on the white horse. He's going to be leading the cavalry. And we're all coming here to this world that he has created, to this earth, that the Father created with his thoughts, with his hands, with his love. We coming back to earth. Because it does tell us, and I try to look for it and I can't find it. But I know it's in there. And maybe you can help me with it. I know it does say in the Bible somewhere. And it's in I think it's in the book of Revelations. I think it is, I'm not sure. But that we're going to come back. We're going to come back as the head of the state. We're going to come back with having some kind of authority. What am I going to be over? I have no idea. It may be Guam. I don't know. I don't even know where it's at. But the reason that we're coming back here is because the earth right here, the earth that we see right now, it's not going to be flooded. It's going to be burned with fire. What does that represent? Getting rid of all of the waste, all of the ugliness. Because, you know, you can go out here and you can take take a yard. There's kind of got green, little green places in it, and got brown spots all over and everything. We've got a little green here and there and everything in the grass. But you can go out here and you say, I don't like the looks of my yard. I mean, here it is, all spotty looking, and it's ugly. Let me tell you what you do to make it look a whole lot better than what it is. Just take a match and burn it. And let what is already dead to turn burning. Get that burn where it's so hot, so when it does get down to the weather, others that look light green grass, it'll burn that away too. And then we'll look at it after everything's been said and done. We'll look at it and say, shoot, man, I'd have my daughter Commander Yardley.
Man, what did you do that for? I said, who's looked at the stuff I've seen in my life? I said, give it like 3 or 4 days, maybe a week. Then the next thing you know, the green grass come. And when it all comes out, it won't be spotted here and spotted there. It'll come up together. Why? What the fire represents is a cleansing of the ground. The cleansing of the earth. This earth that we live in today definitely needs a cleansing. Definitely needs a cleansing.
True ambassador. A true ambassador believes in this book. A true ambassador believes in what happened there. In the day that he was hung on the cross, that my sin and your sin was placed on him, and it was left there on the cross when he came down. On the day of his resurrection, Mary Magdalene to the women returning from the tomb with the angelic message. And to Peter, probably in the afternoon, to the eminence disciples toward evening, to the apostles, except Thomas. See, Thomas won't die. Thomas wasn't there with the other disciples. Thomas had just said, I don't need to be being there. He left me alone. He left me by myself. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't have no other way to go. I didn't know what to do.
All the other disciples said the same thing. He said, we don't have to. Who does that remind me of? Reminds me of some Christians today. The Lord Jesus can tell them through the Holy Spirit what to do, what they need to do. But yet they won't do it. They won't do it. Just like this disciples. They knew what to do. They'd heard it. They'd heard it the whole time they were walking with Jesus.
But they didn't really want to hear him, because they didn't want to hear what he had to say about leaving them. Because that's the same way as a church, where a church with a group of people like Faith Baptist Church. You know, at times we say, well, it looks like everything's going fine. And then the next thing you know, the pastor done got sick, or he passes away, or something else happens and he has to leave. The people there, they say to themselves, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? We don't have no leader. We don't have no pastor anymore. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Brother Bill, he'd say, he said, I really don't know what to do. You know, it looked like here lately, everything that I wanted to do seemed like it turned out wrong. We'd all say the same thing. What must I do? Now, how am I going to follow the Lord? I don't have nobody to help me. I don't have nobody to lead me to the places where I need to go for the Lord. The next question we need to ask ourselves, when we're ever put in that position, do we ever hear anything that has been said? Have we heard it? Do we know what the word says? Yeah, we know. We should know what the word says. The word says we must pull our boots up by the strap, tighten our belts, and get to work. And the first work that the church needs to do after the pastor just left, or the pastor passes away or whatever, and they end up without a pastor, the first thing that the people need to do, they don't need to discuss what they should do or if this is the right thing to do. The first thing that the people need to do, right here, because this right here is the way to find the answer. This right here is going to help you in what you need to do at the altar. But you know something, the altar is not being used anymore. I mean, now today, they'll have churches today. I mean, they build with life sons and everything. They just got a little platform up there where all the singers will get up there, and they got their drums and all of the instruments and everything up here, and then they have that. They repeat word after word and after word. They'll repeat the same verses 10 or 15 times. And they got it on a great big old screen up there. Like I tell you, a bunch of dummies. Can't you see the screen? Can't you see what it says? That's what they say. I don't go with that. I don't like it. I don't like the screens. The only thing I like a screen for is when we have a missionary come in and they want to show it on the screen what they've been doing. That's the only thing a screen needs to be done, used for. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, as we are being dismissed from this service today, Lord, I pray that you'll go with us to our homes this afternoon, Father. And Lord, that we can get the rest that we are really in need of. Father, so we can be able to have the strength and the willpower to go and speak to someone this week about your love, about loving them. Because, Father, they're not going to come to you, but we must go to them and tell them about your love, that you love them enough that you paid the ultimate sin debt for their soul. And just because you paid that ultimate debt, they have to do something. They have to say, Lord, I can't do anything. Everything that I've tried don't nothing work. Lord, I'm at the end of my ropes. Sometimes I feel like just hanging life itself up. I feel like just going on committing suicide. And the Lord say, son, lady, don't do that. Please don't. Please don't. And the Holy Spirit will speak to him and say, all you have to do is just say, Lord, I just want to be saved. Father, I'm longing to see someone saved. Father, seems like a dry spell has set in, Father. Father, yes, I hear of some other churches where they have some people come in, they get saved. But it's not like what it used to be anymore. But Father, I would just like to see someone come in and just dedicate their life to you. And then Father, if some family member or somebody else that they're not saved, that they would ask you to do what it needs to be done, to where I can call you my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All righty. All righty. Y'all.